running some tapes off this evening. If you'd like some tapes of these messages, I got every night except Thursday night, I believe. Whatever night I preach, don't touch me again. I didn't tape that. I forgot to bring a tape. I'm not old either. Someone said, you look 35. I'm 26. I said, well, I got a lot of miles on me. A lot of miles wears the hair off your head, puts a little excess weight on you. And I'm glad that there was a time in my life when I'd like to have looked more mature than my age. But right now, I don't really like that. Hallelujah. So I'll make a point. And I want everybody to know how old I am. That's why I know they're shocked. I see people's mouth hanging open. And I say, well, I hope it's my wisdom that's shining through and they think I'm older. But I know that's probably not it. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 1, let's read. The Bible said in verse 5, I want to start reading there. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even into the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, we're grateful to you. I appreciate this opportunity to stand before these people. I pray, God, you give us wisdom, knowledge, to rightly divide the word of truth. God, I pray this morning that you'll help us all to be in one mind and one accord, realizing we're here for one purpose. Lord, not to build up any one person or any one ministry, God, but to lift up the name of Jesus. I pray, God, you'll help each one that when we leave here today, we could be greater Christians from the pulpit to the door. We'll not fail to give you glory and honor for what's accomplished in your name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Very sound words, very stern, very sobering words. Maybe it's the word I'm looking for here today. He said that the whole head is sick. And from the sole of the feet on up, there is no soundness. Have you ever met people that was sick all of the time? I mean, if it weren't their back, they had an ingrown toenail. If it weren't an ingrown toenail, they sprained their ankle or sprained their wrist. I mean, there are people in this world that are accident prone. They're accident is waiting for a place to happen.
That's right.
My wife's a good woman. She's a good Christian. She stood beside of me many times through this life. My wife is not the most nimble person on her feet, I guess you might say. She has a little streak of clumsiness every now and then. And she's not proud of it, but she's not really ashamed of it. So I'll go ahead and tell you. You see, a lot of people in this hour, it's one thing to be clumsy in the natural. A lot of people are clumsy in their spiritual walk. Right. I want to preach to you for just a little while today about these sick people. Something's always wrong with them. I didn't know this until the other day. I thought fat people were fat because they ate a lot. And I do eat a lot. That's right. And I just always thought you was overweight because you ate more than your share. But we staying at a place not long ago in revival, and the pastor's wife was showing us pictures. When she weighed about 200 and some odd pounds, he was around her. She was shorter than I am. But now she's a real slim woman, and you'd never know that she had any problem with her weight at all. She said, the doctor told me when I went to him that it doesn't matter how much or how little you eat. if everything in your body functions properly, I mean, if you don't just go out and hog yourself and glutton, you can eat what you want. If every chemical reaction in your body and every part of the body is working as it should, nobody in the world will have a weight problem. I never knew that. I want to tell you something, friend. There is a cause for every sickness that there is. When I was a child, I was sick when I was first born. And I was put in the hospital when I was probably 1 or less than 2 years old anyway. And Mom said I cried so much. It gave me a hiatal hernia in my stomach. And to this day, it affects me. I can drink as little as a glass of water some night and go to bed and get the heartburn, have to get up and take something for it. There's a reason for my illness. When you get a headache, it don't just happen to be flying through the air and you walk into it and you get a headache. There is a reason. I won't preach this morning on no resistance. The reason there are so many people sick in this hour is because they don't have any resistance to the disease and the germ that are out there in the world. I want you to know something, friend. We live in an hour when it's hard for people to resist the world. The devil has made it. You know, sometimes you as older people, and I as an older person than I used to be now, I'm well out of the teenage bracket. It is aggravating to you and I when we look at some of our teenagers today and we can't understand why they can't get a hold of God in the manner that they ought to. Many times we get disgusted with them and we say we ought to just leave them by the wayside and we ought to just go ahead and let them make it the best way they can. But I want to tell you, friend, there are many more things to get into today than what there was even when I was a teenager. The arcade business is booming like it's never boomed, and many of them, all they are is a place for some drug pusher to hang out to catch some innocent child and get them hooked on drugs where they'll come back again and again and again. Now, when I was in junior high and what have you, they weren't that big of a deal. There were a few of them around, but it wasn't a craze like it is now. Several months ago, possibly about a year now, in Oklahoma, there was a man that was arrested for stealing some money. They caught him. He had broken into a place and stolen some money. And they said, "Sir, what did you do this for?" He said, "I'd done it to support my habit." Are you a drug user? No. Are you an alcoholic? No. What's your problem then? He said, "I have a habit. I am hooked on pinball machines. My habit costs me $125 a day to support it." I want to tell you, that may be kind of far out sounding to you. I want to tell you, I've known young people, even in the church world, that were that hooked on it that they couldn't seem to let go. They couldn't pass one by without going in dropping $5 or $10 in there in a matter of moments. I want you to know something, friend. There are a lot more to distract our young people. You say, "Brother Webb, you mean to tell me a young person would get so far that they'd lay out of church to do that?" I want to ask you something. Is there ever a time in your Christian life when you laid out of church to watch television or go down to the ball game? Amen. I assure you there probably has been times in all of our life when we didn't do nothing but mow the grass or trim the dandelions. We stayed home to do that when we ought to have been in the house of God. First Peter chapter 4, I believe it is, the Bible tells us that he's about as a roaring lion. Satan don't mean to just distract you for a few moments. He don't mean to just discourage you to lay out of church a few nights. He means to make you backslide and lose your soul. He wants you on the other side of the fence when God comes and carries his people home. It's not his job just to trip you and make you fall for a while, make you weak so you can't be a strong Christian. It's his job to destroy your soul. You see, a lot of times we think, "Well, the devil's playing with me. He just wants to warp me upside the head a few times, and then he'll leave me alone." I want to tell you, friend, the devil's not satisfied with that. He just wants me not to fast for a while. He just wants me to miss reading my Bible for a couple of days or a week or so. No, friend, the devil's not out for that. The end result of what he is after is to make you lose your soul and spend an eternity in hell. Amen. Pray for my throat this morning. One of the great diseases that is racking our nation today, and on the radio coming up here this morning, I heard about it, and it was quite shocking. As I heard some of those news commentators talking that somewhere in Mexico, I believe, there's a research center there, and several doctors have been together for several months. And they've been studying the AIDS virus. They said this morning that they are afraid that there will be no cure, or there will be no vaccine invented for the AIDS virus, because it changes its genetic structure more rapidly than any other disease that has ever been studied in the face of medical history. I want to tell you something, friend. Men think they are very intelligent. And they say, we'll just invent something to cure the illnesses of our age. I want to tell you, friend, when God gets tired of the sin of people, He allows things to come their way. It's not always up to you and I what will be done with it. It's not in the hands of mankind. I firmly believe today that the AIDS problem is not in the hands of mankind, but it's in the hands of God Almighty. And if America repents of her sin, I think God will give some man mind enough to invent a vaccine for it, or God will take it away completely. He's able to do either one. I want to tell you, as long as America plunges headlong in their sin, I do not believe that God will tolerate it. One preacher said on the radio some time ago, if God allows America to plunge on in her sin, He must resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. I have news for you today, friend. God is not in the business of apologizing, for He has never made a mistake, nor will He ever. Amen. Rather than resurrecting them, we'll see the downfall of this land of America because of the permissive sex of our age that has gone on, because of all the sin of this world that is carried on. Just last week while in Flint, Michigan, the pastor showed me a newspaper clipping where they just opened a church for homosexuals in the city of Flint, Michigan. They said, anybody's welcome to come, but we want you to know we cater to the gay society. Anybody that wants to come, we'll turn no one away. But they're a homosexual charismatic church is what it is. I thought, my God, is it any wonder in this hour that we can't get people to look in our windows to see what's going on anymore, when people confuse us with that kind of garbage and they think we too ordained that. Our God, give us more sense than that. Help us to stand against the iniquity of our age. Help us to take a stand. You know why that's there? Because someone had no resistance when someone should have stood up. I want to tell you, I've had a lot of people fall out with me for saying what I'm getting ready to say. So buckle your seat belts, amen, and pad your pew. But I want to tell you something, the reason in this hour there's been such controversy. Jerry Falwell and the moral majority. Amen. The reason that he has been such a front runner in the last few years, he has outdistanced many Pentecostals. I know he does not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that is certainly a mark against him. Therefore, I say, I think it's a crying shame when there are men who are spirit-filled, amen, anointed of the Holy Ghost, who won't stand up against homosexuality and abortion, that God has to resurrect a man, the Baptist movement, who doesn't even believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, to take a stand against the abortion issue, amen, and the homosexuality of our age. I believe that it is our responsibility. I believe if we don't take a stand in this hour, I firmly believe, dear friend, amen, that there'll be no church of tomorrow when my children get to an age where they can take part in a church. I want to tell you, I've seen the church world degenerate, and so have you. But the reason being is not because God is any less than He was when He met with Elijah on Mount Carmel. He's not any less than He was when Him and Enoch took a walk that day and Enoch never came back. He's not any less than he was when he locked the mouths of the lion for Daniel, walked in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew children. He is the same God that he was then. Amen. The problem is, many of you and I as Christians, we have no resistance to the causes of sin and iniquity in our age. I want to tell you something. One of the greatest downfalls of our church today is parents taking up for the sin of their children. That is the number one single sin of the Pentecostal church age of today. Parents will fight you. I don't care if they're preachers, Sunday school teachers, deacons, or whatever. They'll fight you. And they'll run slap over top of you. If I had any one single problem other than gossip when I pastored, it was the fact that one night God anointed me to preach against some sin. The lady in my church, an older woman, had two children going there, and I watched that boy and that girl both married. One had two children, the other had five. I watched them crying the altar that night. And I firmly believe God was working on them, and they were getting ready to lay aside. I'm talking about they were so deep in sin. They were going down the beach line in their bikini. They were doing all of that. If you really want to know the fact about it, they weren't even saved. I was trying to reach them, and God was giving me favor with them. I preached on their televisions, their VCR, going down the beach and all of that one night after I'd been there about 6 weeks. I preached to the lost and all of that, and God said, now's the night. I want you to go ahead and tell them where you stand on everything. I want you to preach the whole book tonight. So I did. They cried in the altar. Conviction was there like I'd not seen it the whole time I had been there. But mother went around and said, well, you got five children. If you don't have a television, your children won't stay home. You really need it. Went around and told the daughter, said, well, it's really hard if you have one because you monitor what your children watch. They were only at home 3 hours in the evening between school let out. And when mama got home, she didn't know what they watched. They had satellite and cable hookup and everything else. She didn't know what they watched. I'm going to tell you something. Both of those children are lost today. That church that was, we had 10 absent and had 52 in Sunday school the day I resigned, is now running 14 on Sunday morning and 9 on Sunday and Wednesday night. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can compromise. You don't have to have any resistance to this world if you don't wish. But it'll cost you. Everybody said it would be a little more lenient, a little more liberal. We can grow bigger. That's a lie. Amen. I proved that. I've seen that proved out in that particular situation. But this very day, both of those children are lost. Had mama kept her mouth shut, let God do His work, they'd have been on their way to heaven today, I feel sure. Dear God, mamas and daddies, if your son or daughter has to get called down in church for excessive talking, a lot of preachers, they got big hang-ups about that. That's not one of mine. I mean, if you hear me call a child down, they're getting mighty unruly. I know children are going to be children. What bothers me is adults that sit in church and don't pay attention to the gospel. Hallelujah. Chew gum and spit bubbles and play with babies, amen, that are not their own, just so they won't have to go down the altar and pray. Amen. Every unspiritual person in the church wants to be a babysitter during altar service. Hello? I know this ain't the dream Sunday morning message. That's what God told me to preach, so I got to preach it. Hallelujah. No resistance. We're weaklings in this hour. Well, I tell you, I wouldn't be much of a man if I couldn't handle our youngest little girl. She's kind of on the active side. When I got up here the other night to talk and the microphone wouldn't come on, I looked down, the knob was cut off. Remembered she had been up here the night before. I want to tell you something. She's quick as a flash. She'll get into anything. But I want you to know something. She don't rule the household yet. Long as God gives me a right mind, she won't. You can't beat on your children all the time. There comes a time when you do have to show them who's boss. You got to put up a little resistance and say, you've gone far enough now. Hey, man, there's Carl. He's a pretty good size old boy. 12 years old. He's bigger than I am. Not around, but tall anyway. He's a pretty good sized chap. But I've got in my mind that if he got too out of hand, I believe that Brother Sam and Sister Geraldine could handle him. My mama used to tell me, she said, when you get too big for me, I'll sit on you and your daddy will whip you, but we will take care of you. Amen. I want you to know something, friend. She let me know that if I went too far, I was going to meet with some resistance. Oh, yes. As the type of boy, I wasn't always a preacher. I didn't always dwell in spiritual things. I like to do things. In the ninth grade, I wanted to play basketball so bad in school. If my sister hadn't went to the same school I did and was a tattletale, I'd have snuck and played if I could have. I want you to know something, friend. But I couldn't do that because I knew that if I said, I don't care what you say, I'm going to play basketball anyway. The coach said, son, I'll go talk to your daddy. I said, coach, I really don't think that'd be a wise move for me. I knew there was going to be some resistance there. I won't tell you the problem with the church world of today. The devil knows he can do just about what he wants to us. And nobody's going to stand up and say, hold on now, you've gone just about far enough. I was in a meeting not long ago, and I wasn't the pastor, so I sat still. And as a matter of fact, I wasn't even the evangelist. I went to hear another guy preach. And some guy got up there after church trying to tear down everything that the man had preached so hard for and tried to tear down old-time religion. He had an old t-shirt on, had a long beard, had a big roadway t-shirt on. He comes strutting up there, sticking his muscles out. He was laying it on the line. How false doctrine and how that old-time way. And it wasn't nothing to what the man was saying. I'll tell you, friend, I'm built different than some people. Everybody sat there looking at one another like, what should we do? My friend, I said, my Lord, he don't sit down just a little bit. I'm going to feel like getting up and I might rebuke him. Oh, Brother Webb, that ain't in order. I want to tell you something right now, friend. We ain't showed the devil no resistance in so long. We take the scripture when we don't want to stand up against the devil. We take the scripture, turn the other cheek. My Lord, we've done turned it 25 times. Don't you think it's time we stop and say, hold on, devil. I'm a child of God. I've been covered by the blood. Amen. You can do what you want to. You can persecute me, but you're not going to take my liberty to worship God and the rights of old-time religion away from me. I'm going to stand up for something. Amen. I said, there's one old boy pastoring a church somewhere. I was at not long ago. Said they was having some problems. So a group of men said, we're going to whip up on this new preacher when he comes in town. They run off every preacher came to town. So we're just going to whip up on him. And his preacher had already been beat up one time by a group of men. And he didn't look too good. I mean, they really worked him over. He went to church that first Sunday. Laid one revolver on this side of the Bible stand, one on that. And he said, me and God's got control of this service today. And he went on and preached, and some of them got saved. Oh, Brother Webb, I don't know if I'd do that. I don't know if I would either. But it worked that time. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's a shame some of us preachers aren't... All of us aren't the size of Brother Lee Strickler. We'd meet with less resistance. Amen. One of the greatest problems in this hour is people don't respect the gospel or the men of God. We're not trying to build our kingdom. I don't preach this way because I think that I'm cooler and I'm more spiritual than everybody else. I preach this way because if I don't, I will end up in hell just like everyone else that errs from the faith. Let me hurry today. Still talking about no resistance. Amen. There's putrefying sores. It's affecting everything. Do you know what? When you get cancer, if it ain't checked, it'll spread through your entire body. And it'll take you down. Oh God. Putrefying. You know what that means? That means it only wasn't sickness on the inside. If I read that right, some of the sores had done came to the outside. Old pus and scabbed over some of them. Bloody. I'm talking about nasty. I'm going to tell you something right now. The problem with our modern day church world, hey man, there ain't been no resistance. Now, used to have people that had long tongues and hatred in their heart. Now it's came on to the outside. They're defying. They'll come into church. I know not long ago in a large Pentecostal church up north in a city, lady came in, a piano player. My father-in-law was there. Piano player came in shorts and a halter top. Hot pants and a halter top. And sat down and played the piano. I'm going to tell you something, friend. People don't have no more God in them than that. Amen. I believe they ought to be told, look here, friend, the line stops here. Amen. If you want to try God and you think you can make it back there on the back seat and God won't strike you dead, go right ahead. But this is a stopping place right here. You want to come up here? I don't believe. I've been in some churches out west in Oklahoma. They were so spiritual that they put signs up. No women allowed in church with slacks on. And I want to tell you something, friend. I can't say that I go that far because every once in a while there's somebody walking down the street that God will draw them in. Amen. But I do believe that if you've been in church long, you ought to have enough sense to know if you don't have nothing but two eyes in your head that we come to church, we wear dresses. Amen. We look like ladies, and when the men come to church, we're not trying to be a lead, a carbon copy of John Lennon or Paul McCartney. We're trying to be Holy Ghost filled saints of God. Amen. We're trying to look like we're set apart from the world. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I don't know why I'm preaching this way this morning, but God does. Listen. Brother Rogers talked so good this morning, and what I got to hear, he talked about those wolves in sheep clothing. The Bible said that they'll come as an angel of light and deceive the very elect. If someone comes into this church tomorrow and they start running to and fro, say, man, this ain't right, that ain't right, they just work on you a little bit at a time. The thing for you to do is say, well, I can handle, you know, I can handle that, and no need for me to worry about that. That's not the thing for you to do. The thing for you to do when someone comes to you like that, hey man, is to put them in their place from the very first time, and you won't have to worry about it from then on. Hey man, everybody in their church world today, the reason we have so many gossipers running rampant, because everybody, I had a lady call me, she was about ready to backslide. She was kind of on the liberal side, and God was helping me to win her. She was a Sunday school teacher when I went to that church. God helped me to work with her, and she was doing great. She got with two of my ladies who had their hair stacked high, didn't wear no makeup, holiness-looking ladies. On the inside, friend, they were whited walls on the outside. Amen, whited sepulchers, but on the inside they were full of dead men's bones. And they got with this one little lady, and I watched her go down. I watched her sit in church. She used to amen and amen. And I mean, she is an amen corner in herself. I watched her dry right up. And I went to her house one day, and I said, Sister Addis, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. I said, you've heard so much garbage, so many lies from those ladies. You're about ready to lose your soul. She began to cry. She said, you're right. I said, next time they call, tell them don't call back. She said, Brother Webb, I don't cause no trouble. Oh, my God, lady, can't you understand? You're tearing up a church by listening. You're about ready to lose your soul by listening. Therefore, the souls of your children and the soul of your husband, who wasn't very strong anyway, if you quit coming to church, all of them quit coming. My Lord, we live in an hour when people say, I don't want to hurt them. You can't hurt the devil. Neither can you hurt any of his followers. I want to tell you, friend, it is your responsibility to stand up for this church and the pastor of this church, as long as he preaches and lives as he has done in the past years that he has been there, and I believe that he will continue to do so. It is your responsibility to stand up for the work that you call your home church and you believe in. Run over top of the Mormon, run over top of every occult in this area, amen, whatever it must be, put them in their place, tell them you know that the work of God here is right. It is your responsibility as a Christian to stand up for what you believe. Could it be that sometimes we don't know what we believe? I'm hurrying. AIDS. That word acquired means to get by one's actions or efforts. The reason a lot of people, amen, no resistance, or AIDS in the church, we could say. The reason a lot of people have no resistance is because they got it of their own acquiring. They did it through their own effort. I love my father. And I've seen him many times give the last dollar out of his pocket to people for gas money. And I watched him go down to the local pizza place at night after church and buy pizza with it. Spend the money and they didn't come to church the next service. I've watched him do that. I've seen him lay on the ground in sub-zero temperatures and fix cars, not even get as much as a thank you out of it. I've had people, seen people call him, church people I'm talking about now, call him and get him out of the bed at night and say, I'm out of gas. Where are you at? I'm sitting at the 7-Eleven by the gas pump. Would you come down here and get me some gas? I'm going to tell you something, friend. God expects us to help ourselves sometimes. We became leeches in this hour because the U.S. government and the Democratic... swallowed. I still told my father one day, I read him in the book of James, that a man is led away of his own lust. I said, Dad, you can't blame no one else. I know people done you wrong. Everybody in this building's been done wrong by someone at some time or another. But when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, he won't say, because they done you wrong, I'll let you in. He's going to say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You see, friend, we must have some resistance somewhere. Everybody wants to blame everybody else when they drop out of the house of God. It ain't hard to stand up. I mean, it is hard to stand up sometime for the truth. I preach hard against television just last year in a rather large Assembly of God church south of Memphis. And I preach in a lot of them. A lot of our holiness people grumble, but they need the message. Amen. A few more of our holiness people get off their high horse and book me. I wouldn't have to preach for so many of them. Hello? Amen. I want to tell you something right now. I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. And we busted up about 5 or 6 televisions. I preach hard against television when it's needed. I ain't said too much here. I've got an idea. It ain't needed too much here. You know, holiness preachers are funny. Sometimes we get in a circle and we beat one another over the head. Well, they don't even preach against alcohols here. And I'm pretty sure ain't nobody in here in this building right now drinking. Amen. What a preacher where it's needed. A lot of those people that bust heads, camp meeting, they get up and see who can preach the best, the what. And my Lord, they preach long sleeves so much in so many camp meetings I've been in. If my sleeve slides up a half inch, I feel like I've done sin, went to hell. Hallelujah. That's right. But you put them out in the worldly church, they won't say boo about nothing. Amen. But I kept going over to my mother's and she kept having the television on all the time. She said, Dickie, you'll never come to see me. When I did go, I didn't get to talk to her because she was interested in other things. Finally, one day I sent word through my sister. If she didn't keep it cut off, I wasn't coming back anymore. It ain't easy to tell your mother. I love my mother. I don't care what she's done, where she's went. I love her. She's still my mother. Amen. But I realized that I couldn't go over there and watch television with her and get up and preach to everybody else. Amen. I mean, that's the way it is. She called me all crying and upset. I said, I'm sorry. That's the way it goes. If you don't keep it cut off, I won't be coming back. I've hinted. I've asked. I said, I got a little girl now. I don't intend for her to sit there and then hear me get up and preach against it. That's hypocrisy. Needless to say, I can hear it on. When I get ready, he lives in a split foyer home. When I start to go up the steps, I hear a little click. She cuts it off. I want to tell you something, friend. You may disagree with me, but I believe in this hour, if we can't earn the respect of our relatives who have once been Christians themselves, then we ought to demand it. I said, Mama, you're the one that taught me what I know. I didn't read it in some book. I didn't get it out of a fairy tale story. You taught me what I know. And that's why I believe it.
I want you to know, friend, it's time we take a stand in this hour. AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. I told you what acquired meant. Immune, protected from something that is disagreeable. We must protect ourselves from this world. And I'm hurrying. A deficiency means you're lacking in some essential. If you're not reading your Bible, there's a deficiency. Everybody tells me, Brother Webb, when I start reading my Bible, I fall asleep. I don't always tell them, but I do too. But we can come awake again and read it some more. Just because you're not good at something, does that mean you quit? I'll admit to you that my piano playing has been a blessing. Sometimes it's been a hindrance. They forget I'm a preacher and think I'm only a piano player, Brother Sammy. But there have been many times in my ministry when I first started and I couldn't preach at all, that I did get a few meetings out of it, I'm sure. Everybody says, how do you do that? I ain't always done that. Started playing at 14. I played in C, F, and G, and if they didn't sing in that, I didn't play. But it was hours when Mom and Dad would go off and go to the store and go visit, and I'd like to go. I sat there with a little record player and a few old Jimmy Swaggart records, songs from Mama's hymn book, This Just What Heaven Means to Me. And I listened and I listened and I listened till I wore grooves in the records and wore them out. And I can't play like him, but I learned a few things from him. And I practiced hours and hours at a church by myself before Mom and Dad got me a piano at home. I want to tell you, friend, it hasn't been easy. But you see, a lot of people say, well, I can't play like you do. I don't play like others do. Well, is that any reason for me to quit playing the piano? You see, I'm a piano player, a little better one than my wife is. But at the same time, she's a little better singer than I am. But does that mean she's not going to play at the altar service? Does that mean I'm not going to sing with her? No. Friend, just because we're not the best at something doesn't mean we quit. I want to tell you, you might not be the greatest prayer warrior, but that don't mean you can't pray once in a while. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to resist the world somewhere and get aside and get alone with God. Syndrome simply means you have the symptoms of an illness. Some of the symptoms of AIDS are a high temperature. Hello? I've seen a few people in the church world. They was on their way to having it. An appetite loss. They were no longer hungry. Oh, preacher, hurry up and get done. Let's shut up. Brother Sammy talked a while, and you got up and ad-libbed before you sang. Now you're preaching too long. It's quarter after 12. I can see the clock. I know that. Amen, but in case you don't get back tonight, I want to give you enough to do you for two services. Constant fatigue. I'm so tired of the devil getting on my back. I'm so tired of the trials. I'm tired of coming to church night after night. Somebody said, what do you do, Brother Webb? For vacation, I said, well, I do one or two things. I'm gone from home. I either go home or go to camp meeting. What do you do for recreation? I preach. What do you do for a living? Preach. What do you do besides go to church? Not much. That's boring. Now, if you get a hold of God in the right way, you'll be hungry for the things of God. You won't get tired of living for the Lord. Reason a lot of people's giving up, they're tired of living for the Lord. They don't have no resistance. One of the prominent symptoms of age is blemishes, unusual blemishes in the mouth. Hello? Old sister bulldog, no brother Doberman Pinscher, you come in and speak to him. Well, excuse me, I didn't mean to upset you or anything by speaking to you. I mean, we're all human. You feel like just hauling off, kicking them in the shin as hard as you can. Stepping on their toe. just jumping up and down on it, saying, how's that feel now? I mean, you done tried to be nice to them and they wouldn't smile. They wouldn't answer you back. And if they did, they bit your head clean off of your shoulders. Amen. I'm preaching some truth today. There are some people, if they couldn't talk smart, I've heard them say, boy, I tell you one thing, I'm going to tell them off. There's a time when you got to take a stand, but telling people off is not a good attribute to have. Well, I'm gifted in putting them in their place. God help us. That's just one of the gifts God gave me. I don't believe God gave you that. They won't run over me. I'll tell you, friend, some of the things I've told you this week, you might think, Brother Webb, ain't too many runs over you, but I've been crushed on the rug a few times, more than once. There comes a time when we got to take a stand for the gospel. That's the only reason we got to come out sometime. If it's because of personal things or somebody got on your children or John's children slapped your children, now sit in your seat and be quiet because your children probably bit them or something first. Amen. While I'm at it, beware of my youngest daughter. You have little children. Every once in a while, she does get out of hand. We're trying to break her of it. She does have sharp teeth. Amen. One of the last symptoms of age is that they bruise easy. You know what? I went by Brother Sam, and he was talking to Brother Webb, and he thinks Brother Webb's more important than I am, and he didn't even speak to me. I won't come back to the revival no more. You know what bothers me? Listen. Now listen closely. But in every church, it's about that way. If you go down to Brother Strickler's, you see most of his family participating in the service. If you come up here, as far as on musical instruments, our Sister Geraldine, and there's Tarina playing. Brother Sammy's playing a guitar. Brother Peter sometime. You go down to Brother Powers. I've heard people say, Powers family runs this church. Well, I ain't a power, so I don't care what they say. I'll just tell them. Hey, man, if it ain't right, look, folks, it's the way it is. And they come to me sometime and lay it on me because I'm a web. Well, it ain't my problem. I'm not the pastor. Don't come to me with it. Hello? Don't run to everybody else. You got something to say. There's a man tell. And don't go to his wife. How many cowards jumped on my wife for something they thought I did when I was pastoring? Hell? People bruise easy. Well, dear friend, if there was somebody else to play that piano, I guarantee you Geraldine Finley would be more than glad to let you play it. I got an idea Tarina would gladly get up and go back and sit in the crowd for a while and say, yeah, just go right ahead. But the problem is, it's usually the preacher's family is the one he can really depend on. He lets Tom, Dick, and Harry play the piano. They come on Wednesday night, and the next Sunday morning, they ain't there because they wanted to go for a ride on Skyline Drive, have a family picnic for the weekend. Sister Sue's the song leader, but Johnny had his wisdom teeth pulled, and he's 22, but he's not big enough to stay by himself. They was pulled 3 days ago, so she can't come Sunday morning. Friend, when he gets up and gets them out of the bed and loads them in the car, he knows they're going to be here. I mean, he don't know just who else may be here. He knows one thing, whoever's in that red Chrysler, if he gets here, they're going to be here. You got to have people. I'll tell you, music makes our services a lot. You got to have people that are dependable in the work of God. Amen. I'm hurrying. And I'm going to close in just about 5 more minutes. So everybody keep cool. You can get AIDS by sleeping with the wrong partner. Oh, you know what? I'll tell you what. I know revival's going to be starting Wednesday night. Honey, don't you think we need to slip on over to the fair at Woodstock Tuesday night? Because we got church. We ain't going to look at anything but the livestock. I'll tell you something, friend. Something got under my skin. I preached a good bit. I have in the past, and I'm going back again this fall and in early winter back to Oklahoma. And they'll toot their horn, and they'll wring your neck for wearing a necktie. But just about 75 to 80% of them, every year at the fair, they hop off. They got a cow they want to show or something. I guarantee you over half of them don't stay in the cow pen the whole time. Amen. That Ferris wheel operator just knew who they were. He could tell some real stories. Hello? I was preaching at one place, and they reamed me out, so I didn't wear a necktie there. I said, I'll respect you. But about the third night, two young ladies came in. They had on some sock ties, and they weren't women's ties. They were men's ties, because I wore enough of them to know what they looked like. I guess some of them ain't never bought one. They didn't know what a man's tie was. I said, men, I want to tell you something. I'll take mine off for you. But if a necktie is made for anybody, it's made for a man. It wasn't made for no woman. Some of you preachers preaching to me about my necktie, you let your daughters wear them. We had revival after that, friend. I want to tell you something. You see, everybody likes to get on your case about something. But when it comes time to turn the table, hey, man, they ain't too shouty. I told them, I said, you folks in Oklahoma got some great people, and they do. And they smiled real big. And I said, you know, we got some out in Virginia, too, and they kind of flinched. I ain't no good people nowhere but in Oklahoma and Kansas, the Bible Belt, you know. And I said, we got some big devils in Virginia. And they smiled again. And I said, you know what, you got some big ones out here, too. They've been sleeping with the wrong partner. Friend, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. They'll preach you 10 sermons in 15 minutes if you listen. That's right. I'm preaching the truth. A lot of them been sleeping with the wrong partner. Friend, just because you live in Virginia ain't going to keep you out of hell if you ain't living right. Lord, just because I had people walk up to me out there and say, I'm Havis Crawford's first wife's third cousin. Amen. His wife, Sister Lois, that died several years ago. So I was Sister Lois' third cousin. And since he missed church the rest of the 2-week meeting, I thought, my Lord, what's wrong with people? Do they think because who they know is going to keep them out of hell? My friend, don't you be fooled. Amen. You can get AIDS through a bad blood transfusion. A lot of people's got bad blood in their veins. And that's the simplicity of their problem. There were $48 million spent on AIDS research in the year of 1986. $48 million. But I want you to listen to this. He may not preach everything we agree with, but I believe he is reaching a few people. He may not teach them the right thing after they get saved. But I believe I seen in one altar service, and I'm sure if half of them in South America, if half of that, if 1,000 out of 28,000 that came to give their heart to the Lord, if 1,000 stayed saved, well, that's probably half as many as I'll reach in my lifetime anyway. I don't agree with him. I don't uphold all of his doctrines, and I don't agree with his fence jumping. But I would say out of all the electronic preachers of our age, Jimmy Swaggart probably preaches more gospel than the rest of them put together. He spends $3 million a week to send a telecast out over many nations. That adds up to $156 million a year. Only $48 million spent on this cancerous disease called AIDS. But by one man in one ministry. I told you every ministry is not right. Every preacher don't preach what I or you agree with. But this nation of America has more preachers on the television and radio. There are more Christian bookstores than any other nation on the face of this earth. There's availability. Just one ministry. What we spent, what you spent, what I spent in the past year, what many other little churches all across this country have spent. Thousands of dollars. Trying to reach people who have no resistance. God help. I'll tell you something, friend. I dare say from this Wednesday to Sunday night meeting we've had here, there's been $100 spent to keep the lights on and to make us comfortable while here. Now, that's just not pennies. $100 is a lot of money. But it was done for the care of the souls, not counting the groceries that's been brought in, not counting the money that was spent today, not counting the money that was spent by everyone to drive here every night, not counting the money that was spent in the offering. See, friend, there's a lot put out just for this meeting here. But yet people will come and go and not care that somebody cared enough for them to say, I'm going to take time. Sammy Finley's a busy man. I'm going to take time. I'm going to have Dickie Webb for revival. And I was glad I was able to come. And we came here and we've tried to do our best. My throat's raw this morning. I've tasted blood several times. I've tried to preach hard and right to you. But yet there'll be people in this building. My wife's coming to the piano, if they're not careful, will slip through our fingers and they'll go to hell after all that's been spent on this revival meeting. Oh, Lord. The world has what they call the Center for Disease Control. And they study these diseases. But there's only one place I can point you to. An old-fashioned altar at the foot of an old rugged cross, where an old-fashioned plan of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ was formated. And it's been saving man for years. It's been keeping people saved and taking them to heaven. And it can still do it this morning. I want you to bow your head and I want you to pray. God's trying to help someone here this morning. Dear God in heaven, I ask you, Lord, to bless our feeble efforts today. Bless every song that's been sung, every Sunday school lesson that's been taught. And bless this message, I pray, for the building of this altar service today. People in need this morning. I ask you to move right now, Lord. Speak to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, young and old alike in here. I ask you, Lord, to touch them right now in Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. She begins to sing, I wonder if you'd slip up your hand and say, Brother Webb, I'm lost without the Lord this morning. And I'd like to know the Lord is my Savior. I'd like to know the joy that others speak of. I realize if God saved you at 16 and kept you saved this long, for these over 10 years now, God can do the same for me. I'm lost. I want the saints to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and say, yes, pray for me. I want to know the Lord is my Savior. Quickly, young man, young woman.
What a privilege.
Mom or dad, as I surveyed this congregation today, I'd say 98% of the people in here know the Lord. But as I said last night, there's a lot of people who sit in our services and lose their soul. And we'll never know about them getting saved till we get to the glory land.
Oh.
Would you slip your hand up and say, please pray for me. I'd like to know the Lord is my Savior today. You're here this morning. You've been in church many years. But as of late, the devil's been a-pulling on you. You don't have much resistance left in you. You've given yourself over to him several times. You come back and pray. He's still a tugging at you today, and you don't have much resistance left. Would you raise your hand and say, Brother Webb, I'd like for you to pray for me today, that God will give me strength to withstand the wiles of Satan, that I can live for him in a greater manner than I have. Would you slip your hand up, please? God bless you. Are there others this morning? You slip your hand up. Yes, yes. Are there others? Yes, God bless you and you. God bless you, you. Brother Webb, I need a special touch this morning. The devil's really pulling on my coattail. He's trying to get me down, but I want you to pray that I have some resistance. That I won't have those putrefying sores in my soul that the prophet Isaiah wrote of in the book of Isaiah. I've got some wounds, but I pray that I won't be bruised. That I'll heal quickly. There's some things that's happened to me in life that's nearly made me bitter. But I want you to pray for me today. that I can make peace with myself, because I don't want to let the root of bitterness spring up, lest it send my soul to hell. Would you slip your hand up today and say, please pray for me. God bless you. Others, you're fighting some feelings in your soul today. I feel it in my spirit here. Bitterness is trying to creep in. Brother Webb, pray for me that I'll be able to resist it. Quickly, is there another one? I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want everyone in this building this morning, I want you to come. School's starting back for many of you young people. The devil's going to be after you Tuesday morning. He's going to try to get you down. But you can live for God. You can make it. You can have some resistance to the things of the world. You don't have to go back the way you came. I've had people come up to me and frantically say, Brother Webb, I don't want to backslide. Friends, you don't have to. Because God brought you here for a purpose today, to give you something to help you to withstand the powers of the enemy. I want you to move out now. She begins to sing that song. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus, friend. We ain't never had no one like him. I want us to spend a little time this morning. My Lord, the devil's on the rampage, but Jesus died for you and I. And of all that he does, he can't erase that fact that God died for you and he died for me.
Jesus knows every way.
Take it to the Lord.
Can we find a friend so faithful?
Call on the Lord today.
Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Huh?